Our scripture reading, we turn to first to Acts chapter 3. We read verses 1 through 16. We take note of the fact that both of the passages we read speak about the fact that we receive the blessings that are found in Christ through faith. We start at Acts 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And secondly, we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and read there the first 9 verses of that chapter. There we read, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So far we read from Holy Scripture. These passages and all the rest of Scripture are the basis for the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 7. There we read, "Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? No, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith." What is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. What are these articles? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, if you were to ask people what faith is, many people would not give the answer of this Lord's Day. Many people do not truly confess that faith is certain knowledge. Many people look upon faith as being something that you hold to, but you don't really know for sure. Or we say faith is certain knowledge. We hold for truth all that God has revealed in his word, and we are certain that the things we read in his word are true. And also that confidence. Many people, there are those that will say they have faith, and yet they don't have that confidence. And we say here, faith is that confidence. It's not only knowledge, but it is also confidence that the promises are not only to others, but to us. And another question that many will give a wrong answer to is the question, do our children have faith? That when we baptize an infant, as we did today, are we baptizing a believer? Are we giving the sacrament of baptism, are we administering that sacrament to unbelievers when we baptize our infants? Well, we say that it's similar to the Lord's Supper in the fact that it can be the case that there are going to be some in the congregation that are not believers. There's going to be some that have water sprinkled on them that are not truly believers. There's going to be some that are going to eat in the bread and drink the wine that are not truly believers. But we view the people of the congregation as believers. And we recognize that God performs his work of grace in us and in our children, that they are included in the covenant. They are holy. And that God does perform his work of grace in our children, even in the womb. That even in the womb, he can join them to Jesus Christ. And when we stand, we make confession that we believe they are sanctified in Christ. Well, how could you be in Christ without faith? We say here that the ones that are saved are those that are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. That applies to us as adults and also to us as children, that they are engrafted into him and receive his benefits by a true faith. Even though for our young children, it's not yet a faith that they're conscious of the fact that they have. It's amazing to think of that gift of faith that God gives us and how that gift is precious. Think of the fact that by faith we're joined to Christ. Think of the fact that by faith we receive all of his benefits. That makes us think about how precious faith is, that gift of faith that God gives us. And that's what 1 Peter speaks of when it says it's more precious than gold. God gives us that faith, and it is important for us to think of how precious it is. And that all these blessings come to us through that bond. And the passages we read speak of that. We're kept by the power of God through faith. That was 1 Peter 1, verse 5. And when the man who was lame was healed, Peter made the comment regarding that, that it was Christ's name through faith in his name that hath made this man strong. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. We look at those passages and this Lord's Day thinking about the fact that it speaks of how by faith we are joined to Christ and how by faith we receive his benefits. And believing and thankful for our salvation, we praise his name as did the man who was healed. So we consider this Lord's Day under the theme Precious Faith. We consider, first of all, joined to Christ, that whole idea that we're engrafted into Christ. Secondly, receiving his benefits, that we receive them through faith. And then lastly, praising his name. The first point to take note of with regard to faith is that we are really engrafted into Christ by faith. The question that's asked is, after it talks about our mediator, our Savior, it says, are we all saved? Is everyone saved in Christ Jesus? And the answer, no. Only those who are engrafted into him, they're the only ones that are saved. And we are engrafted into him by faith. Faith is the bond. We are engrafted into him by that means. Now, that's referred to in Ephesians 3, that idea. Ephesians 3, verse 17 says that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. So that by faith, Christ dwells in us. We are engrafted into him by faith. And that can happen even in the womb. We don't say that it happens to each and every one of our children head for head. The scriptures don't teach that, but we do say that the scriptures do speak of the fact that even in the womb, one can receive that. We often talk about how John the Baptist leaped for joy in his mother's womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. It serves to bring out the fact that salvation is entirely the work of God. How could it possibly be that an infant is already in Christ? Obviously, it's not that that infant fulfilled some condition to get in. Without their knowledge, they're partakers of condemnation. And without their knowledge, they are received in Jesus Christ. That's quite important to think of that confession that we make. That they are received, that they are in Christ, that they receive his blessings without their knowledge. They're joined to him. We say our children are in the covenant. We bring out when we say that, we don't mean that all the children head for head are in the covenant. It's the same idea. To be in the covenant means you're in Christ. The covenant is made with Christ. The phrase we use to describe that is we call Christ the head of the covenant. Because the Bible says that the covenant promise was to Abraham's one seed. In Galatians 3, we've looked at that a number of times. Galatians 3, verses 16 and then in verse 29. It says the covenant is made with Christ. And then if we are in Christ, then the covenant is made with us. The covenant promises to us in Christ. But the covenant is made with Christ. So for us to say our children are in the covenant, that means they are in Christ. To whom the promises were made. And we speak about the fact that the promises are not only to us, but also to our children. And we speak of how the scriptures speak about that. God said that to Abraham, that Peter preached that in Acts chapter 2, that the Philippian jailer, Paul said to him that the blessings would be to the believer and to his house. The promises are to the believer and to his seed, as the scriptures speak. They also receive this blessing of being joined to Christ, being raised from the dead and given spiritual life. In that connection, we speak of being saved by irresistible grace. That's one of the terms we use. One may wonder, why do we speak of irresistible? Why do we use that term? Sometimes terms are used over against what others teach. It's common to speak of irresistible grace. Many people say that God gives grace to all people. And if you ask, well, if God's giving them grace, why isn't everybody saved then? Well, because people resist the grace of God would really have to be the answer. God's giving them grace, but the people are resisting it. God wants to save them, but they're resisting his work. Over against that, we say we're saved by irresistible grace. That God works in us, and when he gives us his grace, we are saved. We are raised from the dead. We are brought to new heavenly life. We sometimes use the phrase efficacious grace, meaning that God accomplishes his purpose Just like he did in creation, so also in salvation, God accomplishes his purpose. Sometimes we call it sovereign grace, bringing out the idea that God has the authority. He's the king. He has all authority, and he has authority to give grace to whom he will. That faith by which we are engrafted into Christ is entirely a gift. It belongs to the gift that our Lord purchased for us. And it's important for us to think of the fact that when Jesus suffered and died for us and for our children, he purchased for us the right to have faith. Faith is something that, we are commanded to believe. All men everywhere commanded to believe. But we didn't have the right to receive, to have faith, unless it was purchased for us. We deserve to be in darkness without God. We did not deserve to have this certain knowledge, to know God and to love him. We didn't deserve to have this confidence. Christ died to purchase for us and our children the right to receive the gift. That he gives us that gift, having purchased it for us. And he gives it to us, infusing it into us, breathing it into us. He puts his word in our heart. He gives us not only the will to believe, but he produces the activity itself. And gradually, as we hear the instruction of the Word of God, that faith by which we are engrafted into Christ, we become conscious of the fact that we have it. Our children are baptized without their knowledge, without their really being able consciously to know what's going on. They're received into grace without their knowledge. But they do come to conscious faith. They do come to a faith where they can consciously express what they believe. And they come at a relatively young age. They do recognize that they do hold for truth what God says. Like you children here, even you young children here, recognize that you do believe that what the Bible says is true. That's faith. Even when you start at the very beginning about what happened at creation, you believe that. You believe that. And when we start early on in catechism, I already see that you children believe that it was God created everything just like he said. And Adam fell into sin just like God tells us he did. And that the miracles we read of, these things really happened. Never seen things that are mentioned in the scripture. You've never seen somebody like Lazarus being raised from the dead. You've never seen these things before, but if I ask you now, did that really happen? You say, yes, it did. You hold for truth what God has made known in his word. That's faith. You believe what the scriptures say. And you children also, at a relatively young age, recognize that when God speaks about believers and he speaks about the blessings that are found in Christ, he's speaking of blessings that are to you, not just to other people, but to you. You grow to recognize, and it's important for us who are older to point this out to you, what the scriptures say about the work of the Spirit within you. So that you grow to see that the Spirit is doing that work within us. We do recognize, we do have faith, and we recognize we got it solely because God chose us and He gave it to us. And our children recognize that too, and that is a very common confession. If I ask them, why do you believe? Many others don't. They commonly know. They know why. And that's a wonderful thing to hear them, to hear you children confess. Well, God chose you just because He wanted to. He gave it you faith. Otherwise, you and I never, we never would have believed. It's solely a gift that God gives to us. We're joined to our Lord. We really are. How important it is to think that we have faith means we really are joined to Christ. That you are. You're joined to Him. And that bond can't be broken. When God joins you to Christ, it's not possible that could be broken off. We're preserved. We're kept. That's one of the verses we read. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Never could we be separated from our Lord. Now, the Catechism goes on and says, all of Christ's benefits come to us by faith. It says, only those who are engrafted into Him and receive all His benefits by a true faith. Now, our children receive those benefits by a true faith. Are they forgiven? Are they justified? Are they forgiven? Well, baptism signifies that. Their sins are washed away. Christ did all that was necessary to pay for all of their sins, so their sins are washed away. They're justified. They are righteous in Christ Jesus. Are they sanctified? We confess that they are. They're holy. Sanctified means they are holy in Jesus Christ. They are justified and sanctified. They receive all His benefits. Even though when they're very young, they're not conscious of the fact. Yet we read, you know, as far as what they are, from a spiritual point of view, things go on inside them from a spiritual point of view that are beyond what we know. As is indicated by the fact that John the Baptist leaped for joy while in the womb, indicating that God's work inside a little one is beyond what we know. Gradually, they become consciously aware and can express it to us. But they receive all the benefits. They do. And we address them as believers. That's important that we speak of them as believers. We speak to adults as believers. We know that the fact that somebody's a member of the Church Institute is not of itself certain proof that the person really is a believer. But when we address one another, we talk of one another as a believer. When we go to comfort one another in our afflictions, we talk to one another as believers. And we do that of whatever age. We don't do that just with those older. We do that with the younger ones too. We talk to them as believers. We address them as such. And we explain to them what faith is. It's very important to understand what faith is. That faith involves knowledge, which grows. God gives us the knowledge, and it's certain knowledge, and that knowledge also grows. Faith grows. Our knowledge grows. When we say we hold for truth all that God has revealed in His Word, well, He revealed quite a bit here. And we hold for truth all that's found here. Well, we grow more to understand what is found here. We grow in our understanding as the Spirit opens our understanding to understand what the Scriptures say. We grow. And that comfort, we bring out to our children that it's not only knowledge. It says that it is also an assured confidence that not only to others, but to me also, these blessings are given to me. Not simply that they're held out in front of me, but that they are actually given. We receive them. What do we receive? Forgiveness of sin, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness and salvation. They're freely given. Faith is the assured confidence these blessings are given not only to others, but to me also. Why? Merely of grace. Only. Not because I fulfilled some condition, but only for the sake of Christ's merits. We grow to have, and our children grow to recognize they do have that confidence. And He assures us. We receive assurance. Those that already have this confidence also are assured. Now that's important to recognize too. We speak about how the sacraments are used to assure us, to assure those that already have faith. So you say faith is assurance. It is. Faith is assured confidence. The sacraments are given to assure those that already have assured confidence. We said that about baptism. You know, the sacrament, it says, when we're baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us. Well, that's a blessing that's going to come to somebody who is a believer. We say something similar in the Lord's Supper form. I mean, you come to the Lord's Supper form, you're already a believer. You do have this assured confidence. But then we read, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured. You already have assurance. And yet God admonishes and assures us. He works faith by the preaching. He confirms it. He strengthens it by means of the sacraments. He assures us of what? Of this my hearty love. That it makes us think of how the Lord works through the sacraments to assure us of His love. We already know He loves us. But He uses the sacraments to assure us of His hearty love and faithfulness towards us. When we look at the healing of the lame man, we see some instruction about how we are healed and how we receive strength. Miracles serve also as a occasion to be able to instruct our children too, because they can. It's such a vivid picture. And it's good to make use of the illustrations that the Bible itself gives. And then as you read the story, it's good to think about what you can learn from the story. That's something we do also in catechism as we go through the history three times. We go through it, you know, we take three years to go through the history the first time. Then we go through it again in two more years. And then we go through it a third time for two more years. And one of the things we do as we keep going through and as we're teaching stories that now they've heard a number of times, not only in catechism, but also in the schools and also in the homes. So as time progresses, they're hearing stories that they're more familiar with. There's also more opportunity then as they mature to bring out, what does this story teach us? What can you prove from this story? How is it that we are healed spiritually? Well, this story says, this story we have, and in some stories you have a verse that especially summarizes what's happening. This verse 16 says it was faith. It was Christ's name, and it brings out the importance of understanding that it's Christ's name, through faith in Christ's name, that we receive the blessings by that faith in Christ's name. Now that brings out how important it is for us and our children to hear about Christ. You can see how they were stressing this too, because they're talking to a number of people that have just rejected the Christ. But if you ask them, do you believe in God? Oh, they believe in God, but they rejected the Messiah. And they're stressing that one does not believe in God if he's not believing in God if he rejects the Messiah. It's faith that is by Christ. It's faith in Christ. One who believes in God believes in his Son, the mediator. And that as we hear, and it brings out too that the importance of when we're in the Old Testament or in the New, that we bring out what this is teaching us about Christ. Important to remember when we're teaching, especially say the Old Testament, when we're teaching a story in the New Testament, it may have Christ in the very story. And we read about a miracle Christ performs or a sermon that he preached or something. But then when you're in the Old Testament, it's very important to bring out, what is this teaching about the mediator? Because it's all about the mediator. All the scriptures, it's always about what God does, the blessings God gives to us in and through the mediator. This man was made strong hearing the proclamation of the name of Christ. And you see that in the history too, that how did it happen? What happened to him? Well, what happened to this man was that he was sitting there not expecting to be healed. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name, he brings up Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He was commanded to do that in Christ's name. We see that it's by the Word of God. We are strengthened by the Word of God about the Messiah. There's more we see in this. God commands us to do what's impossible. You imagine a man sitting there, never walked in his life, and God says, rise up and walk. He can't do that. He's never done that. This man is telling him to do something he can't do. And yet God says, in the name of Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do it. And he does it. That's amazing. Now you apply that to us. We realize God commands us to do things that by nature we can't do. There's no way we can do them by nature. And yet God commands us to do it. But he also says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, with also the idea that God is giving you the grace to do it, do it. And as we hear that command, and as our children hear that, not only do it, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, with the idea that God is granting you, he's working in you, you're receiving that from Christ. Do it, believing in that Christ. He was being commanded to believe in Christ and get up. And he did. He got up. And God says it was through Christ's name, his name, through faith in his name, through faith, hath made this man strong. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. All of his benefits come to us by faith. And God commands us, believe. We, by nature, do not want to do what God calls us to do. And as we bring this instruction to our children, we command them in the name of Jesus Christ, believe. Believe this word. Fight against your evil nature. And do what God calls us to do. That faith that God commands us, he commands us to believe, to walk. That faith by which we receive all these benefits, that faith is going to be purified in this life. And in the life of our children, we don't know what they're going to go through. But we do know that the faith that God has given to our children is precious, more precious than gold. God's going to purify it. And our children, as we are, will be tried by fire. We can, on the one hand, the trials are difficult. God repeatedly tells us we're going to go through trials. We're going to suffer. God even tells us it's a gift. We see Christ suffered. You and I have been joined to him. Our children are joined to Christ. If we say our children are joined to Christ, which they are, that means they will suffer too for Christ's sake. And that's a gift. Philippians 1 verse 29 says it was given to you not only to believe, but also to suffer for Christ's sake. And our children hear instruction on that verse. Two gifts are mentioned there. The gift of faith The gift of suffering for Christ's sake. That's a gift. And as we suffer for Christ's sake, it's important for us to think, our faith is precious, more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire. We will go through trials, and our children will as well. God uses these for our profit. It's good for our faith to be purified, and that we learn to not to trust in ourselves, not to trust in anything other than Christ, to trust in God through Jesus Christ. Receiving these blessings by faith, we praise God. That's certain. When you see this man leaping about and praising God, you'd think, well, how could he not? He just was healed. He just received strength. He didn't even know how to walk. He'd never walked before. And now all of a sudden he was strong, and he knew how to walk. In fact, he knew how to leap. Certainly he would praise God. Well, so also when we think of what we've received, when we're thinking about receiving all these benefits by a true faith, we want to thank him. We want to praise him. And God's children do praise God. We delight to praise him. We delight to thank him. We want to show forth our thankfulness, our love to him in all of our life. We do leap for joy. In fact, Jesus said, when you suffer for Christ's sake, leap for joy. Great is your reward in heaven. And God leads us to think about what is coming. And he spoke about that in 1 Peter when he spoke about the trials of faith. He said, it's important for you and I to think of what's coming. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We think about what we're going to receive. We already have the beginning of it. But we think about the full salvation that is coming to us, ready to be revealed in the last time. Glorify your God. Be strong in faith as Abraham was. To think about him, the Father, your Father. To think about how the Scriptures speak about him as the Father of the believers. And to think of how he was strong in faith. We glorify God when we are strong in faith, praising him, delighting to thank him, not doubting, but believing the things that God has told us in his word, and thanking him for engrafting us into his Son, thanking him for giving us the blessings of the forgiveness of sins, of wisdom and power, of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, all of the blessings that come to us by faith. Praise him and thank him for all these gifts and live to the honor of his name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for thy word of truth, and we are thankful for thy word of power that comes unto us, and how thou dost work in us faith and grant us the blessings that we receive through faith. May we grow closer to thee. May we and our children learn of thee. And may we receive that spiritual strength that comes from thee alone and live to the honor of thy name. Grant that blessing to us, to our children, and to all thy people. For Christ's sake, amen.